Hey guys, welcome to Boiling Point Faith and Fire, where we don't dance around truth and we confront it. I am Brandon and I'm here today with my co-host Rory. Hello, Rory.
Hello, Brandon. How are you today?
I'm so good. That was probably the shortest intro I've ever done because I don't even know why, actually.
You caught me off guard.
You thought you had time to get half of that cup down.
I really thought I was going to have some more coffee, and I was like, whoops. Hey, how are you?
Yeah. There's kind of a lot going on right now. So I'm going to ask, like, what do you have on your agenda today?
Oh, you already warned me, okay? Folks, she's been messaging me for like the last 48 hours, going, all right, I got this, I got to deal with this, I got to talk about this. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get an extra big cup of coffee and just come along for the ride. So honestly, kiddo, this is your show. I'm good to go because I know you got a pile of people who need to get kicked in the butt today.
Well, I'll start with the little headlines that I want to make you guys aware of. Some of them I researched, some of them I didn't, but one of them that just came through that I saw this morning, posted quite a few times, is the House voted 228 to 190 to pass the Bow Wow Act. And you guys, that allows for the deportation of any illegals who harms law enforcement animals. 190 Democrats voted against it. Okay. I found a quote today. This one is great. I found a quote. Nancy Pelosi in 2024. This is what she said. If we win the Senate, we will get rid of the 60-vote rule and pass it with 51 votes. This is going to tie into something we're going to talk about today because Rory's like, why is our VP not getting rid of these guys and stomping out the filibuster? We're going to talk about that because Democrats have already said what they're going to do and they will remove it. Okay. They're going to do it regardless. I did bring up Nick Shirley and all of the fraud. Oh, he found it. Fake shell hospice companies in California. You guys, he just started. He just started. And I mean, these guys have Mercedes parked in these empty buildings. I mean, this is going to be so big. Like, he is, you know, you were saying in the last show, you were like, he needs security. He needs security. He has, he literally has a GoFundMe for people to help him build his security team. So he knows.
Good. Jeez,
He
I'm
knows.
telling
But yeah, I mean, people are threatening him.
you.
Like it is very crazy. So if you guys find him on X, it's Nick Shirley. If you want to donate to his cause, because God protect him, you know? But yeah, 40 minutes. It's $170 million in fraud that he found in like a day. That's
So
like
far.
one day in California. I am just I
Wow.
yeah. And then another thing, the House passed a bill requiring automatic deportation of illegals who commit welfare fraud. That's my alarm to have an interview show with Rory today, you guys. How embarrassing. Okay. House passed a bill requiring automatic deportation of illegals who commit welfare fraud. That came through 231 to 186. Obviously, you guys, this is a no-brainer, but 186 Democrats voted against this. Like another no-brainer. I think that's it for like my basic headlines because I want you guys to be looking into this, and these are the things that I want you to pay attention to because it's really happening. But yeah, come on. Like, we're talking about something that should not even be controversial, but it is. Like, common sense, specifically the kind of common sense that says if you're a hot citizen, you don't get to vote in our elections. And it's not about your race, dummy. Okay? Don't be a useful idiot. We don't care what your race is. We don't care what country you're born in. Just follow the law because your lawlessness has become contagious and we're all a little pissed off about it. Okay? It's simple. If you're here illegally and you commit fraud, you get deported. Like, it's super simple. That's the bar. And somehow half of Congress can't clear this. Okay. And
You
you
got to hand it to them, though. You got to hand it to Democrats, okay? Because when their leader says, everybody vote yes, don't even think about it, they literally don't think. They just go, okay. And they follow lockstep. Republicans, like, think about it for, 7 or 8 months, lose elections, and can't get anything done. So, as ridiculous as it is, you at least got to give them credit for being in lockstep.
Well, it's embarrassing. And
It's awful, but.
I mean, how many people, how many Americans, okay, and it's Democrats too, that like there's welfare fraud. You're not getting food for your family because people are taking advantage of the system, but you're voting to keep the people taking advantage of the system for them to get a stay and take advantage of the system. That it doesn't make sense to me. If you commit welfare fraud, you get deported automatically. There's no gray area. There should be no committee review, no smack on the hand, no like, here's a 7-year appeals process. Stay cozy and we're going to continue to feed you and your family. Like, you abused a system that American taxpayers fund. You're gone. Like, that is not unreasonable. I don't understand the debate. And 186 members, the brainless sheep that follow the leader, how, in, like, you guys, I'm so embarrassed for you. Like, I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed every time I see your quotes come online. I am just completely embarrassed for you. And I do pray, like, I've been stretched this week. Right, God has put me through some stuff where he's like, you know, I love them and whatever you could do to bring them in. I want to have the conversation instead of me just sitting here thinking that you are a soulless, brainless shell of a human. Like, I want to talk to you and I want you to help me understand how you miss the bus of common sense and not from a way of judgment. I genuinely want to understand how you look at a bill that says don't steal from Americans and you're like, nah, go ahead. Take it. What? That's I this come on, you guys. You know what the truth is, right? It's a greedy human system because non-citizens access benefits meant for Americans, the people running the system are fighting to keep it that way. That's not compassion. Okay? They don't care about you. That is control. Like, accountability is not cruelty, right? Boundaries are not bigotry, and common sense is not controversial. It's just so inconvenient for the people who are benefiting from the chaos. And until everybody here takes the wool from their eyes, nobody's ever going to see that.
You okay having those conversations yourself? You don't need me to come with you, right?
No, yeah, say something. People.
No, I mean the conversation that you're going to have apparently with progressives to try and have a logical conversation, understand things. This reminds me a little bit of our episode on Both Sides of the Mic,
Yeah.
where you kept trying to say, hey, it's this way. And I'm like, nope, just nope. I kind of feel like I'm giving you the same answer now.
I know.
Nope. Hey, let's go have a conversation with progressives and try to make it logical. Nope. Because all they're capable of saying right now is Trump is bad.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no rationale for anything they're doing. Nothing.
Like, what's the breakdown going to be when their identity is so hardcore in Trump is bad and who Trump is. And like literally every day, you know, I vote for the man and I pray for the man. And I guarantee they think about him way more than I do. Like, he's got more rent-free space in their brains than any of us will ever have thought about him in our entire lives.
Absolutely.
He's a temporary thing. So, what happens to them as a people when your identity is gone? He's not going to be president forever. This is like a tiny blip in time in your life. He's not personally affecting anything that has to do with what you wake up and do every single day. He just doesn't. He doesn't have that power, even if he wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who are you without hating him? I'm so confused. What happens next? Is it you spend your whole life just every problem that ever happened, it's going to be his fault because of the small 4 years he spent in office? That's scary. Like, they're coming out.
It's an irrational hate that TDS, the Trump derangement syndrome, is so real. And one thing that it is good for though, is that I think that we're all starting to kind of realize that the progressives are not even close to majority. They're just the loudest.
Yes.
And so we think because they're so loud, we think there's a lot of them, but it's really just because they're so loud. Because I watched a bunch of primaries happen in Illinois
Okay.
yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Red, and I'm like looking at this whole big red sweep in the primaries, and I'm like,
Wow.
what in the world is happening right now? I think even if a place like Illinois can actually say, hey, we're done, then you've really just gone too far.
Yeah.
I don't know what other loss. I thought that the Trump Kamala loss was going to be enough for progressives to go, okay, I have to drop the stupid act. You know what I mean? Because nobody believes this, and I'm only doing this to act like I hate Trump. But it wasn't. It still wasn't enough. They dug in deeper. So, like, what do they have to lose? Do they have to, like, lose California? You know, and Illinois? I mean, they're not going to lose New York because, you know, they got Muslims running that. But what do you have to lose in order to go, okay, fine, I give up. I'm going to actually stop with this nonsense. I don't know.
Speaking of New York, that's funny because I did see a headline where he's charging them like 50% tax now, and how bad, like, I know it's terrible because I'm like, that's the get. It sucks.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening. But I
I
would,
feel bad for no one
yeah,
in New York.
it's so crazy.
Nobody. You did it. You don't like it, leave. But when you go to Florida, remember what happened.
Exactly.
You know, I think Texas is starting to wake up a little bit too, and they're kind of going, "Oh, wait, we voted liberal because it's what we do, but we didn't mean to." Hold on.
That what happened to Colorado? Like, I know that has not always been a blue state. I know how I grew up. I remember that. And it's everybody comes in from California. They move to Boulder. They move to Denver. And all of a sudden, like, it's gone. Common sense is gone in my home state. It's heartbreaking. And I don't know enough about Michigan. I don't know if they've always been blue, but I just, you know.
Michigan's been a back and forth because Michigan was sort of founded as a blue collar state. Like from the harbors to the manufacturing to the auto workers to, you know, like Niles, for instance, right over the border was founded as a welfare city because the welfare benefits were like three times higher in Michigan than they were in Indiana. So
Wow.
everybody who wanted to apply for welfare just moved over the border
It's the border.
and you formed Niles. You know what I mean? So it's like that's where it came from.
That explains
So,
a lot.
yeah. So back when it was like blue collar versus rich, you know, back in like the 80s, right? When that's how everybody had the parties formed. People thought they were doing the right thing. You know, unions, huge unions in Michigan, they voted for Democrats because they th thought they were supposed to. Now, that's all changed. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in Michigan in the next 2 years. You know, especially this year coming up with the primaries and or the midterms rather. I think that's going to be really interesting. I think you're going to see a few very key changes
Yeah.
to start that ball rolling. And I think they just might go red. In the presidential election.
I think they
Just
would because I don't trust
like
the integrity of the election, and I'm not saying that just because I'm pissed that we're still a blue state, but like genuinely, I don't know a lot of liberal people here, and when you watch it, like, it's Detroit's blue. That's it. And so, how is the rest of us not a big enough voice for this? And I just feel like there's a little integrity issue here with voting. I don't
huge.
necessarily think that we should have been blue this time, especially because everybody I talked to did full red ticket, just full ticket, full Republican ticket. So, how is it that we vote for a Republican president and everything else is blue still? It's very confusing to me. But what a mess. We'll see what happens.
Well, Detroit was one of those cities. Detroit, and I think it was the other one was Philadelphia, where the registered voters were like, I'll just throw a number out, like 800,000 or something. Let's say we're registered voters, but 1.3 million ballots were counted. And you're like, how'd you have 500,000 more ballots than you had people? You know, really? Not only did everybody vote, but apparently they voted more than once. How do you even do that? And they go, oh, nothing to see here. Sorry, just don't look.
Well,
So, yeah, until that's cleaned up.
let's talk about the Save America Act, okay? 'Cause this is that bill we kind of talked about last week, and refresher course for you guys. If you want to register to vote in a federal election, it's very simple. You just need to prove that you're an American citizen. Not a big deal. Okay. Did you see that meme though about that one of the ladies doing some kind of government job was like, if you need an ID to vote, maybe you need an ID to buy a gun. Like, literally someone said that. Literally, and everyone's like, who's gonna tell her? Who's gonna tell her? Like, it was so funny. I can't tell you who it was, but it did make me laugh. I did the whole haha emojis in the little thing. So I'm like,
Right.
that's freaking hilarious.
Where do you not need an ID to buy a gun? Tell me, I'm going there.
yeah.
I'll vacation there next week.
That's how uneducated.
We'll stock up.
I feel like I would have a better chance running in a government office than a lot of people that are there right now because I'm willing to do the research before I open my mouth. And if I don't know something, it's very simple. I would have just been like, hey, do you guys need an ID to buy a gun? I would ask that if I didn't know.
Wait,
But
no,
yeah.
hold. Is this your way of announcing? Like, I
Oh,
mean, is
hell no.
I know you have like 150 kids at home, but I mean, when they grow and you're like an empty nester, is that your plan B for like, stage two of life?
No, because I have a really great friend that told me no matter where you're at in life, you sell out. It's a sellout. And I'm working too hard on my relationship with Christ to sell out and bend in any kind of way for something I don't believe in. I'd never make it. Either they'd kill me or they'd make me look crazy. And I don't have time for that. Like, I have another mission. I have a better mission. But
All right.
yeah, so American citizen, you passport, birth certificate, Miller ID, military ID, something. That's it. Just prove you're a citizen. You could vote in the citizens' election. This should also be a very easy part in the history of legislation. And the House passed it 218 to 213. The Senate voted 51 to 48. It was just this week they even started debating it. But this is the problem, okay? And Rory talked a little bit about this. They need the 60 votes to pass the filibuster. They only have 53 Republicans. So you have the majority of elected officials. They're like, yes, the majority of the American people, yes. Voter ID polls well across both parties. This is not a fringe idea, but it's still stuck because of a procedural rule. And this is where, Rory explained to us, and I didn't understand this. He's like, Vance just needs to push through now and be done. Well, I looked that up. He can't do that. But what he can do
Right.
is he can push to nuke the filibuster. That's it. And I don't understand why people are so cautious about this because they said, I read it to you guys in the beginning of the show. She said it herself. It's a quote. It's verified. I fact checked it. Okay. The filibuster protects you when you're in the minority too. I get it, but it doesn't, not with them. Not with them. And something so common sense. We're talking about whether or not Americans are the ones voting in American elections. That's foundational, you guys. That's not the fl that's not the ceiling. That is literally just the floor. And there are confirmed cases. Yeah. There are confirmed cases, confirmed and prosecuted cases now of the non-citizens on voter rolls in Ohio, in Georgia, in Texas. I guess Michigan, are the numbers massive? Yeah. And it's principle. Like one non-citizen vote cancels out one citizen's vote. That's one too many. One is too many. And in places that didn't require voter ID, which makes sense in my state of Michigan because there is no voter ID required, there have been admissions. Like people are actually admitting that something is wrong. So when someone tells you this isn't a problem, I want them to explain, like, why are you fighting so hard to make sure we never verify it then? It's very simple. But it is going to take Vance coming in and pressing the nuke button.
That's exactly where I was going to go. He has the power for that, but he really does have, even though it's not written, where he can't literally walk in and throw through and out like on his own.
Yeah.
He can, because of his position, he can walk in and say to Republicans, "We need to replace the leader of the party now."
Yeah.
And he can raise all of that. And everybody it could either, okay, I'm either going to follow the vice president, who's also speaking for Trump, or I'm going to follow Thune. All they need is the door opened, because there's people who want to run against Thune and force an election within the party for a new leader. And he's doing a terrible job. And honestly, they have grounds
Yeah.
through their own, I'm not sure it's called the Constitution, but they have a like their own rules of the party, and how they what Thune has to do to qualify to be voted against, or voted out. He's committed every sin you can commit. He's eligible to be booted. But the Republicans are afraid of him. So if you have the vice president come in and say this has to be done,
Yeah.
now you've got some cover. You've got cover from the fire. And it's like, hey, I'm just, getting in lockstep with Vice President Vance and President Trump. That's what I'm doing. And now you look good for doing it because you're following the lead of the two biggest guys in the party. Instead of like being some rogue who tries to step up and fight Thune, then you lose, and then the party hates you. You need a Vance to give you that nudge and that, hey man, you're
Yeah.
gonna be covered. We're gonna take fire for you. Go ahead. I need you in here. Because Thune's just useless. We gotta get him out.
How do we tag Vance in the show? Like, we need to tag him so that he knows for him and he just has to do it. Like, I don't know. Do I make a crazy comment about the White House and they'll start listening and then maybe he'll get the message? I don't know how that works.
I can try. I've already been in touch with some of the people that sort of handle him and his communications, trying to get him on Power Man. So, yeah. I just had Senator Loudermilk on Power Man
Okay.
with me. So, and I'm pretty close to getting Senator Yockum on with us. And so I'm pushing for, or Representative Yockum. I'm pushing to get some of these congressional Republicans on my Power Man show to be like, so tell all the men out there why you're being a complete flake.
Yeah, I love that.
So far the Loudermilk one is really getting a lot of traction with
Nice.
that. So I don't know. I'll reach out to Vance and see if we can get any information.
Maybe he's one of those, like, you can't get through me unless you go through my daddy, which is like Peter Thiel. So maybe that's who we need to go through first to get permission. Like,
Has his people.
Father Peter, can we please get your child to
You
the
gotta go through his people. That's the issue.
I don't know.
It's a pain,
Yeah.
especially when you're an independent show. You know what I mean? We've got a really good following. We're a really big show for an indie podcast, but we're not Joe Rogan. So, but I'm trying to tell him, hey, we're in Indiana though too. So you'd be able to make a real big push about Michigan
Yeah.
if you were to come to Indiana, on a podcast and like talk about the Midwest. And he's like, So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. His people are not throwing me out the window. They haven't like said no.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, not a no is kind of a yes. I'll take that. I'm going to keep pushing.
Keep going.
We'll see what happens.
I also Joe Kent. There is an FBI. This was crazy because
This guy.
the first thing I read about Joe Kent, I'll just tell you guys, is his resignation letter. And I'm like, ooh, that's ballsy, right? Then I start doing the research and I find out before he wrote that letter, he's under FBI investigation for leaking classified information while serving in a national security role tied to counterterrorism. Okay. So, yeah, he shared sensitive intelligence improperly disclosed. He's in big trouble. And so the crazy thing is that he knows he's in trouble and he writes this big letter stepping away, and he framed it as a principled decision rather than an admission of wrongdoing. And his message really centered around disagreeing with the current direction of leadership and not wanting to be part of the decisions he didn't align with, meaning Trump bad, war bad, I'm out. And
Right.
he made it look like his exit was voluntary, values based, but he didn't mention the investigation. And he's not talking about it at all. Just presented this like I have values and ethics and I'm standing on policy and leadership, rather than the fact like, dude, you got busted and nothing says guilt more than freaking quitting when you know the investigation is unleashed. So yeah, we see through your BS, buddy. We see you.
Yeah, he pulled Marjorie Taylor Greene is what he did.
Oh.
I'm in a lot of trouble. I've gone way too far. I pissed off all the wrong people. I'm in a lot of trouble. So I'm going to act like I'm quitting of my own volition, and I'm going to go seek refuge with the enemy
Yeah.
until the fire is done, until the bullets stop flying, and then I'll see what's left of my career. So he did the same thing. He knew if he came out the way he came out, that the liberals then would become his friends,
Yeah.
and that's all he did.
Yeah.
That's all he did was find shelter with the enemy. And it's like, wow, dude, really, really weak.
It's already so low for me to be able to see how common sense is lacking in the liberal mindset. But nothing is lower than someone who has seen that, who has spoken on it, and then is like, "Will you guys just love me? You love me." Like, it's so. I don't know how they like look themselves in the mirror anymore at this point. Like it's lower than a liberal if you're going to go cry to them to try to fill your ego, to think that you're still relevant and you're still going to be okay and that everything is safe and you're this great person. That's worse than being a liberal.
That's another person who falls under the exact definition of the useful idiot, because the right no longer respects you because of what you've done. The left didn't respect you before; they don't respect you now, but they can use you. So they're going to give you shelter because you have a use to them. But when you no longer have any usefulness, you're not one of them. They're not going to keep you. You're going to be out in the cold at some point. This is a temporary fix. So unless he's planning on being the next male host of The View, I'm pretty sure this guy's toast. I'm not sure he could get a job working over at Dick's Sporting Goods at this point. So,
Ew.
yeah, pretty bad.
Ew. And, I feel like it is important that we talk about where Israel is today, because that's still a big thing that's happening, and it's still, we're in it, you guys. We're in it. We, Supreme Leader taken out, military infrastructure, Iran's nuclear program, all of this, not random decision. It's what we did. You guys, it's a reminder. Just want to remind you guys a little history here, because I keep seeing people talking about it, and no one's talking about it in the right way. It is, everyone is just like, America first. We're fighting Israel's war. We've done a lot more than whatever you think, even if this does benefit Israel, okay? But this was years in the making. Iran has been the largest state sponsor of terrorism in the world for decades. They're the ones funding Hamas, Hezbollah. They've been, destabilizing the entire Middle East, threatening our allies, and that matters geopolitically, and then working toward the nuclear weapons, and they're lying to everybody about it. Like, can I just make this clear? Nobody woke up one morning, and I don't know Trump personally. I don't know him personally. But if you look at the proof and truth of everything he's done, he's not the kind of person that's going to wake up. I mean, he's brought more peace and more peace talks than any president that I know of. He did not wake up and say, "Hey, let's go to war for fun." It wasn't like a dick swinging contest at this point. Like, this was necessary. This diplomatic road had to be traveled. And it's taken me lots of research to understand this, and lots of things that have been happening behind the scene for decades. Okay. Deals have been tried. He tried that. The Iran nuclear deal, like, that got us nowhere. Iran kept, funding proxies, and they kept attacking through back channels, and they continue to lie. They continue to lie. At some point, we can't be like every other president and just talk, talk, talk. Like, the talking has to stop and the action has to start. That's what happened in February. And then we have Israel. They strike Iran's South Pars gas field, and that is the largest natural gas reserve on the entire planet. Israel went after the money, because when you're dealing with a regime like Iran, you don't just take out the military, you want to cut the funding. And South Pars is what kept that regime alive economically, from my understanding. And so Iran, in response, they didn't come to the table. Okay. Again, I can't tell you guys how much this story reminds me of Pharaoh. Like, Pharaoh got so many chances to do the right thing. They didn't come to the table. They didn't negotiate. They launched missiles at Qatar. And that's a country that had absolutely nothing to do with the strike, nothing. And fun fact, they host one of our largest military bases. And they process, like, I don't know if it's like a quarter. I don't remember the number. A lot of natural gas. And they cause massive damage there. They hit Saudi Arabia. Iran starts swinging at everybody in the room. Neighbors who did not touch them, countries that are minding their own business, and now the entire region is turning against Iran. Even Qatar expelled Iranian military officials from the country. We're done. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister, that's it. Are, gone. Everyone gone. They denounced Iran's attacks on Gulf neighbors. The strait that I was talking about a couple weeks ago, the strait is closed, of Hormuz is closed. And now, what's going to happen? Energy prices are going to spike. Iran isolated itself. And it's not because we forced it, but because Iran chose rage over reason. They did this to themselves. And the people who are super uncomfortable right now, the ones you guys crying about, like, "I don't support war." Like, I hear you. War is ugly. It is devastating. I have a son who's about to go into the Marines. I know the nightmare of what's coming. War costs lives. Real lives, real people, everyday people like us, real families, real children who don't ask for any of this. Nobody in their right mind is celebrating that. None of us. But what I need you to understand is that inaction is also a choice, and inaction has consequences too. 40 years, Iran regime has been oppressing its own people. Women beaten in the streets for showing their hair. Political prisoners are tortured and executed. Kids, I know you guys see the meme about that wrestler who got executed for standing up against the regime. There's like three boys, young, like my son's age, all dead. It's an entire population held hostage by dictatorship that rules through fear and violence. Yeah, is it our business? No, but also when you are the strongest military in the world, that comes with responsibility, whether we all want to admit it or not. We don't get just to lock off and be away from the world. And am I talking about sending slush fund money? No, I'm saying this is like actual evil that needs to be denounced. That's it. People are done. They are starving, they are broke, and they're tired. The regime has crushed them. Shut down the internet. They're beating people in the streets, and we're just all watching. It's not me, it doesn't matter. America first, give us our food stamps, give us our whatever it is you guys are crying about. Every single liberal in the world, if you were in this country, you're done. You're dead. Rory and I with the podcast, dead. Like, you guys don't understand. And Iran has actively been working to close that Strait of Hormuz, okay? That's the choke point that a lot of the world oil passes through. Strangling the global economy as a power play. Funding terrorist organizations everywhere. They've been building towards this, even though they said they wouldn't. It's not clean. This isn't clean. It's gotten messy. Who's going to think that Iran's going to be so stubborn that this continues like this? And a lot of people aren't even talking about things that came through because of this, because the war has exposed a lot about the British Empire's hold on global order. And nobody talks about that anymore. That was a huge thing. Like, for me, even when I first started voting, you know, it wasn't Israel that owned us, okay? It was this whole British Empire that was just had a hold on everybody. But if you look at history, like real history, not the stuff they give us in school, Britain has had its hand in the Middle East for over 100 years. They carved up the borders, they installed the leaders, they controlled the oil. The British Empire didn't just colonize Africa and Asia. They built an economic system that kept them at the center of global power long after colonies were supposedly freed. And it's been propped up through institutions, financial networks, intelligence operations, strategic alliances, and nobody's thinking about that. Your banking systems? Do some research. And when people are talking about the old world order, it's them. And the war just exposed like their power is hollow. It's hollow. Trump asked them to use their bases. They said no. He consulted lawyers, he worked on it. Our troops are already in the air trying to look for allies, furious that Britain couldn't even make a decision fast enough. So he called them out. And then that's when the truth came out. They have been exposed. Britain's military is a shell of what it used to be. They're done. Their army is the smallest. Navy and Marines shrunk. Air Force cut like to 50%. They had one ship in the entire Middle East region when this started, one little mine hunter. And yeah, they have to scramble to get their people out. Britain got attacked on their own sovereign territory and couldn't respond because they don't have the military anymore. It's been depleted. They're done. And that is what the collapse of the old guard looks like. They spent decades positioning themselves as indispensable global power. And history, I want you guys to understand that even if there is a global power right now with a chokehold on the United States, the same thing's going to come to light. The truth will always come to light. And imagine everybody before thinking, man, why do they have such a hold on everything? What is it about Britain? And they never got to see the justice. They're seeing it now. It takes time. This was our junior partner, y'all. This was like the second biggest military here. They don't have any of that. And that makes us the stronghold. That makes us the everything, the most powerful. But this is what they didn't, you guys know, like the banks and they've had the endless wars and the corrupt systems. All of that was them and it's crumbling. And now you can see that. That's it. You can't even get a ship in the water. And the New World Order crowd, the globalist framework, the people who've been running things from the shadows, they just got exposed too. It is a domino effect. Everything is crumbling because when it's time to act, they have nothing. All the influence, all the back channels, all the institutional control in the world, it doesn't matter if you can't protect power when it counts. And really, the last thing I want to say about this topic is that our president, President Donald Trump, made, he's made the statement about what's happening. He's clear. He said Israel acted, the US is drawing a line, and if Iran touches Qatar again, America's going to respond with a level of force that Iran has never seen. We now know that's not a threat. That is a promise from a man who has shown the world that when he says something, he means it. We can't decide how anybody else is going to react, but we also can't be the parent that's like, don't do that or I'm going to take your privileges away. And then they continue to do it and nothing happens. That's not good parenting. And no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, no matter how you feel about politics, the weight of what this man is carrying right now is something that I don't know any of us that could comprehend. He's managing military operation across the Middle East, navigating alliances with Gulf states, Israel, European nations who can barely help themselves. He's dealing with the global energy markets. He got the strait closed. He's got American troops stationed in harm's way across the region, and he's making decisions that affect not just the country, but the entire world. Yeah, duh, nobody wanted the war, but he had the courage to do what's never been done and what every other we leader has been too weak to do. That's it. Compromise or too afraid to act. Iran's regime had to go. Everybody knows that. The Iranian people want that. And he did something. So I'm saying we have to stand behind him fully. And more than that, like we have to pray for him. Not the social media kind of prayer where you're going to keep type praying and just keep scrolling. I'm saying like really intentional on your knees praying, praying for the wisdom for him, praying for that protection, praying for the discernment, praying that God is going to guide his hand and bring everything to the greater good for what he wants in a situation that has global consequences. And pray for the military. They're away from their families, standing on the front lines for something that, of course, they didn't choose, but they're willing to die for that. So pray for the innocent people that are in every country that are paying the price for this. And when you pray, stay informed. You can't let the algorithm tell you what to think. Don't let the one headline be the end of your understanding. You have to look deeper and you have to start asking questions and you seek the truth on yourself. And the truth is going to be what sets you free. And now we need people rooted in truth, really, truly, more than ever. And are they doing dumb stuff? Like I saw they have drones over Fort McNair. They found like three or four of them. And this is going to be, you guys are probably like, why is that so important? Well, that's where Hegseth is. And that's where Marco Rubio are. And so that kind of stuff, it brings it close to home. So what do? We stay aware of what's going on, and we stay resourced, and we stay praying. I never want to scare you guys. I'm not a fear merchant. It's never been a part of what the show has been. But even no matter how much Iran reminds me of Pharaoh, when Pharaoh moved against God's people, there was always a ripple effect, always. But the people who pay attention, the ones who mark their doors, no one was panicking. They just got prepared, and there's a big difference. Panic is what happens when you don't know who's in control, and preparation is what happens when you do. So stop your doom scrolling. Stop sharing what every social media influencer is getting paid to make you feel and share, and start discerning. Get your spiritual house in order. Like pray with intention, not out of anxiety. Okay? God isn't the spirit of fear. It's the power, it's the love, it's the sound mind. The war is real. The threats are real, but so is God, who's already won. And he's showing this. If you look at the truth for what is happening, he is showing us that people are getting exposed. That's what we wanted. Maybe it's not coming the way we wanted, but we want the exposure. We want the accountability. And that's coming. So, yeah. Hi. That was my rant for today.
I think I feel like every other listener out there has been just holding their breath for the last, half an hour. Like, whoa, that was pretty good. That was a lot. Yeah. I don't disagree with any of it. So, well done. Well done. And yeah, I don't think we need to close. I think we're good.
Well, I need you guys to share the show. So I need you to send this to someone who needs to hear it. I need you to tag our boy, either Peter Thiel or Vice President JD Vance. Tag
Don't piss him off if you're tagging him.
Oh, Well, just say it nicely, you guys. Well, it's true. Does he deny it? Would he deny it? I don't think.
Just tagged Vice President of the
Okay.
United States, J.D. Vance. He has an account.
Vance, okay, someone tag him, share it to him, just spam it, email it to him, whatever it is, okay? And you can leave us a review. Leave some, whatever you want to say. We can handle it. And by we, I mean Rory could read the comments and definitely not tell me what you say. Okay. He'll protect you. Don't worry. But you guys, come on. It's, we need your help here getting actual information out. And I'm not going to share stuff that I'm not going to research. So if I say I don't know, I don't. But this stuff, I looked it up. Everything I said in the beginning of the show, keep your eyes open for that. And that's all. Share the show. See ya.